and that you're overhearing what God is saying to me. And my assumption is always that you're as messed up as I am, and so therefore the message will apply to you. Well, I certainly am doing that in this sermon tonight. 8 years ago, as I was moving from a full-time responsibility as Director of Missions at Blue Bonnet Baptist Association to a part-time responsibility as the Association's Church Health Consultant, Pastor Butch Eichels asked me to join his staff at the country church. Now, honestly, there were not very many pastors, and still aren't today, with whom I would feel comfortable serving under their authority. But through the years, I had been at the association about 20 years. I mean, not that time, about 18 years at the time. And I'd come to know, love, and trust Butch Eichels. So therefore, I agreed to serve as the teaching pastor under his great leadership. For me, it was more exciting, more productive, and more personally enriching than I could have ever imagined. I've grown to love, respect, and admire Pastor Butch more than I could ever adequately express. He is a dear friend. And his commitment to one more soul continually inspires me and encourages me. Recently, my son John approached me and asked desperately, at least it sounded that way, if I would come help him at Everyday Christian Fellowship. Now, the Lord has made it clear that I should go, but knowing the will of God does not always result in a sense of peace. I'm 76 years old, which means I don't look for change in my life. All change causes anxiety. I'm very comfortable in my ministry here at the country church. I love the church. I love the pastor. I love the staff. There's just nothing I don't like about the church. It's great. And so this change causes me discomfort, which I don't like. And I'm going to serve under the authority of my youngest son. That change causes insecurity. Now, I had to figure out when I retired from the association, because I'd been, you know, the number one guy, the pastor and the executive director of two associations, I had to determine, could I work in a staff position? And there were several factors involved. One is I had to know and be absolutely convinced that the person I was working for would not be unethical, immoral, illegal, unbiblical, or abusive. I knew that about Pastor Butch Eichels. I know that about my son. And if that was the case, I couldn't serve under that person's authority. I basically assumed the attitude I did in the Navy. I would always go to my superior and make a recommendation. And if my superior thought he had another, or didn't want to do that and had another idea, my response was, that's a great idea, sir, let's do that. And so that's the way I serve. And in other words, as I tonight announce my resignation from this church and proceed with God's next assignment for me, I need to overcome worry and experience the peace of God. Hence, I selected as my favorite scripture tonight, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. If you'll stand, we will read that text together. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, wrote this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Father, I'm thankful for this word, and I know it's true because it's your word. Our desire is to experience in the fullness this word. Not just for me, but for all of us, because all of us have things in our lives that brings concern, brings discomfort, brings insecurity. And Lord, we want to be true to your word. We don't want to carry a burden that we shouldn't carry. So help us tonight to lay all of our cares on you, for you care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I had to do this lighten up. There's a little song I wrote. We're going to sing it note by note. Don't worry. Okay, we're not going to say that way. No. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Is that a reasonable approach to life? Well, it must be, since this is not a suggestion in Philippians chapter 4. It is an imperative. It's a command. Is it easy? Well, of course not. Is it natural? Absolutely not. In fact, I'm convinced it requires the indwelling Holy Spirit in order for us to appropriate this truth in our life. See, the very root meaning of the word that's translated anxiety or anxious gives us a picture of the problem. It's the picture of a divided mind. The word describes the mind as looking two ways and not being able to settle down on a common ground. And this double-mindedness results. It's futile, it's frustrating, it's fatiguing, and it continues to weigh heavily on us in our anxiety. And yet, the Bible clearly commands that we are to stop worrying. So how is that possible? The Lord wouldn't tell us to do something that didn't have the ability to be done, not in our own strength, but accomplished through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Well, the first part of Philippians chapter 4 says what? Rejoice in the Lord. Okay, nothing's changed here the way we preach. When I pause, you're supposed to help me. Rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
And again I say,
rejoice.
In other words, don't worry. Be joyful. Be joyful. So I got that. How can we be joyful? And I was reminded to something that the pastor said, not either this past Sunday or the one before that. And by the way, I heard every one of the services on that 4,000-mile trip. Every one of them. So I wasn't deprived of anything. But something that he said, or at least I remember, was it matters not who you are, but whose you are. And so I think that is the key to experiencing joy. And that's to remember who we are in Christ Jesus. For the first part, we are sinners saved by grace. We're saved. I mean, my sin in all of its multitude was nailed to the cross. Jesus bore my sin. He shed his blood for me. My sin, past, present, and future, are already forgiven. So I can be joyful. Typically, the thing that brings me down is some regret or some guilt that I assume that the Lord's taken care of. So if I can just remember that I am a sinner saved by grace, I am forgiven. His mercy is sufficient. His grace is abundant. If I can remember that, then no matter what comes into my path, I have at least the initiative to experience joy in whose I am. But not only that, I'm not only a sinner saved by grace. It's not only something, a condition that I have in Christ Jesus, but I am a saint in progress. The Lord has a goal for my life. And he's working that out in my life. I'm being transformed into the very image of Jesus Christ. Now, it often seems to be a slow process. I mean, I don't always act saintly, but I am regardless. I'm a saint in progress. There's nothing in heaven, on earth, or under the earth that can frustrate the will of God in my life, in his intention to transform my life. I'm the only one that can mess it up. So I can't ever blame anybody else. God has given to me the privilege, the responsibility, and the power to become what he has destined me to become. Knowing that, I can experience anything and be joyful. Pain, whatever. By the way, we're going to experience pain in this life. I periodically have a kidney stone, and that's the Lord's reminding me. That's pain. Okay, I got it. We don't need to repeat that anytime soon. See, the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, that person is a new creation. Old things passed away. All things have become new. The Bible reassures us that we can be sure of this, that he who started a good work in us will complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. So we're not going to be stopped along the way. It's not going to be a project almost completed. He will complete what he started in our lives. The Bible encourages us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who's working you, enabling you both to will and to act for his good purpose. And then one of my favorite scriptures is in 2 Corinthians 3:18, where the Bible says, we all with unveiled faces are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory. And this is from the Lord who is the Spirit. From glory to glory. That's a great Hebrew word, glory. It really means fat. Some of us are more glorified than we knew. The idea is, in that day, only those who had significance, who were weighty, had the privilege to get fat. And God is heavy. He's the heaviest there is. And so I love that word every time I think about it. You see, I can rejoice because I have started the journey. I haven't arrived yet. I'm getting close. I haven't arrived, but I can be sure of this. I will. And I put in that in your thing. I was going to sing it, but I don't think I will. He's still working on me. Make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon, the stars, earth, the sun, Jupiter, and Mars. How loving and faithful he must be, because he's still working on me. You see, none of us have achieved perfection. Paul made that very clear. But he also told us what to do as we are in process. And he said, forget what lies behind. Isn't that where we spend most of our time? Thinking about stuff that we did or didn't do, we should have done. Forget all that, he says. And do what? Struggle for what lies ahead. We are saints in progress. So, if I go back and my... Here's the verse we go. Jesus Christ died for your sin. He changes your heart to be like him. Don't worry. Be joyful. Happy is based on happenstance. Joyful is based on the Word of God. Second thing is here in our text, if you look up there, after he says that, he says, the Lord is at hand. As I thought about that, basically, what he's saying in as a prelude to this be anxious for nothing is, don't worry, be hopeful. Because the Lord has promised that he will never what? never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And he's told us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So therefore, we have no reason to ever lose hope. Now, I'll tell you when I lose hope. I lose hope when I start thinking, I got to do something. And I know I'm not adequate. And the older I get, the more inadequate I know I am. I don't lift stuff anymore. I don't pick up. I used to, you know, kind of get ahead of the game and strain. I just sit there. Now, you kids do that. Go do that. Pick that up over there. But you see, the Lord is taking care of me. And so I have no reason to ever lose hope. Now, I think also that either Pastor or Rusty, I'm not sure, talked about the differences between wishing and hoping. And so I'll hopefully try to spread that a little bit. Wishing is sort of an optimistic desire that things are going to be okay. There may be no real basis for that confident expectation. It's a desire that's based upon what we think would be a pleasant or desirable outcome. But you see, wishing is always conditioned by happenstance. And so when things start going counter to your wishing, then your wishing becomes less optimistic. Often at that point, you change your wish. Okay, that's not the hope of the Bible. It's not wishing. Hoping is the certain confidence that we're going to be okay. That God is indeed working all things together for our good. I may not understand it. I understand it a lot better looking back. One of the requirements for this 4,000-mile trip was that Ruth couldn't sleep. Because if I got somebody to talk to, it makes the miles go by a little better. If it's just me and the highway, 4,000 miles seems like 40,000 miles. So Ruth had to talk, and so we would basically, we'd see a sign with a name on it. I'd say, why is that name on there? She'd start Googling, and we found out stuff that was absolutely unnecessary. But it kept me going. I don't have any idea what this has to do with what I was talking about. Huh? She did sleep a little bit. She bought me the Audible book, the reading book of Bill O'Reilly's latest book, The United States of Trump, which, by the way, is a great book. I would recommend it. And so she slept, at least she listened with her eyes closed. So our hope is not a matter of what we can do. It's a matter of what God who is in us can do. Our confidence isn't about me. I suppose it's not about my strength, what I used to think I could do. A lot of things I know now I can't do. But if anything, my confidence has grown as my weakness has also grown. Because I have a greater appreciation of who the Lord in me is. He is in control. I'm not. The Bible says that in Christ, in Colossians 1:27, we have the hope of glory. Because He is in control. Therefore, I can be hopeful. Because I know that the Lord has only His will designed for my life. And His will is good. His will is what He created me for. And so I can be hopeful. The Lord is at hand. He hasn't gone anyplace. He's in me. He's with me to accomplish His perfect will in my life. Romans 8, we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. That's our destiny laid right out there. We have no reason to ever be hopeless as long as we belong to the Lord. Our hope, our certain confidence is that we're destined for fatness, glory. You see, that's exactly what the Lord was telling his disciples on the night he was betrayed. They begin to grasp the fact that something was going to happen that night. This is the night of his betrayal. And obviously, the context indicates that they were concerned. They were anxious. They were worried because they didn't know what was going to happen. But it sounded ominous. One of you is going to betray me. What's that going to mean? Well, he's been talking about going to die. This must be it. And what did Jesus say? Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in the Father and God the Father, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am there, you may be also. Good old Thomas. Whoa, we don't know the way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. But you see, the reverse of that is also true. Every person that comes to me, through me, knows the Father. Sometimes we don't catch the other side of that coin. There is a certain confidence, which is hope. So the next verse would be, Jesus our Lord lives within. He claimed your heart. And he's coming again, so don't worry. Be hopeful. Follow your notes, Barbara. Third part of the verse of the text. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry. Be prayerful. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're comforted by his love. It's a comfort to know there is nothing that I can do that would diminish God's love for me one iota. That's almost impossible to grasp, isn't it? Because usually we love conditionally. Meaning, if you do something that I don't like, my love for you is diminished. But if you do something that I like, then my love for you increases. Love, God cannot love you any more, and he will never love you any less. That's a comfort in our prayer. So I can always go to him and pray, no matter what the situation, because I'm comforted by his love. He's ready to hear the child he loves, and that's me. The second thing is that we're confident of his faithfulness. He who calls you is faithful. He'll always do it. Now, the great thing about my relationship with the Lord is I can always depend on the Lord. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when I go to him, I don't have to wonder, what kind of a mood is he in? Because usually when we relate. And it's been really true at my house in recent days with my daughter, who is up and down on steroids and all this with this problem. And boy, sometimes she's just mean as a snake. And then the next day, wonderful Ginger. But God's not like that. He doesn't have those moody days. And so I am confident of his faithfulness. He never changes. He's always the same. So I can pray with that confidence. And I'm certain of his promises. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4, he's given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. You see, I don't have to really ever wonder what God wants in my life. He's made promises, and I can claim those promises. And in claiming those promises, I can pray with intentionality. So, I don't have to worry. I just have to remember His love and pray. I have to be confident of that God doesn't change and pray. And I can be certain that He's made these promises. I can claim them and pray. Third verse. Jesus Christ has a plan for you, so don't give up. He'll pull you through. Don't worry. Be prayerful. We got it that time. Very good. And then the conclusion of the verse is, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will stand like a sentinel, a guard, to keep your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. So in Christ, we can experience God's perfect peace. So when I came to that part, I thought, okay, what is the peace of God? And we hear that all. What is the peace of God? Is it everything being tranquil? No hostility? Is that the peace of God? No. Life is seldom like that, personally or corporately. But I believe it is the confident understanding that the Lord Jesus is in control. And that whatever's going on, He is working that all together for good, empowering us to be overcomers and giving us the gift of His fearless peace. Have you had those times in your life when you were just at perfect peace and there was no good reason why you should be? And the death of a loved one? And it's as if God poured a bucket of peace on your life, not able to explain it. See, that's what God can do. And He says, if you will just be joyful, if you'll be prayerful, if you'll be hopeful, if you'll do all of that, then I'll give you my peace. And you won't be able to explain it. It surpasses all understanding. So would you like to have the possibility of worry-free living? It's really not hard. It's not even difficult to comprehend. It's only possible and completely possible through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It'll never happen if you depend on yourself, because you find out real quick you're in control of nothing. Everything just keeps going. In fact, when you try to grab something, two or three things turn loose. But the Lord, He has it under control. It may not be obvious to you. It will be, just a matter of time. So when we submit to His authority in our lives and empower Him to rule and reign, Philippians 4, 4 through 7 becomes a reality in our lives. As long as it's still us struggling, trying to be the controller, trying to be the one in charge, trying to be the driver, the Lord will let us go. He'll just see what you can do, buddy. And that's what we do. We make a mess. But He allows those messes to bring us back to the fact that He's God and we're not. And so, when we finally grasp that and begin to put it into play in our lives, where He's the Lord, we're not, then we come to the last verse. Then someday, we'll hear Him say, "Well done, my child. You're blessed this day. So don't worry.
Be happy."
Be happy. As I said, this week, this text and this sermon has spoken great peace to my life. And I'm thankful. Because honestly, I face this night with very, very mixed emotions. I know what God wants me to do. But I'm not always, at least on the front end, all that hepped up about doing the will of God. I know I'm going to. I'm committed to it. But you see, anytime you leave something, there's something called G-R-I-E-F, grief. And I'm already missing some things, and it hadn't even happened yet. So my prayer is Philippians 4, 4 through 7. I'll constantly be reminded that God's got a plan. He's working His plan. Got a plan for you. He's got a plan for the country church. Got a plan for every day. Got a plan for John. Thank God He's got a plan for me. And I'm going to try not to mess it up. So I'd appreciate your prayers. So let me bring it to a conclusion. I've talked a lot about the Scripture and about me. But what's true for any believer is true for you. Tonight, are you at peace? Or is there some worry that's hanging over you that you can't seem to shake? And no matter what you do, it doesn't seem to resolve it at all. Give it to the Lord. That's what it's all about. That's what He's trying to get you to do anyway. And He's not going to give you any relief till you do. But if you do, you'll begin to experience joy, hope, and peace. If you don't know the Lord, if you don't know that if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven, if you don't know, if the Holy Spirit doesn't live within you and you don't know that, your life is turmoil, and it will remain that way until the One who created you begins to rule and reign in your life. Is that hard to do? If you ask God to save you, He will give you the gift of faith so that it's His gift to you. And you can trust the Lord. And you will receive the Holy Spirit, and you can begin to live out these principles that I've described tonight. But you may be a believer. A believer. A pastor brought this up Sunday. You may be a convert, but not a disciple. Convert is someone who's converted, but keeping one foot over here in the world. Still trying to balance, do the balance act. A disciple gives it up. I belong to You, Lord. I'm no longer going to do my thing. You may be a believer, and you're still trying to drive, you're still trying to control, you're still trying to be the pilot. Hey, it's not going to work out. Never going to work out. So it's time to give it up. He is Lord. You ain't. And He's a jealous God. He's not going to be satisfied, and He's not going to make an exception. All right, I know you're smarter than the average, JK, so you just take over. He's not going to do that. He's going to discipline me. He's going to discipline you. So don't play that game. Bow the knees of your heart to the Lordship of Christ. Let Him rule and reign. He'll make a difference. Let's stand together and pray.